Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Once again, a very, very happy and healthy Thanksgiving to all of those of you listening. And Layla, I'm sure you extend the same.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, it's our weekly Q&A. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com. And a question that comes up from time to time, and I'm kind of surprised about it, is do we still see patients?
Yes.
Because, I mean, it seems like, you know, we're just going 24/7 on generating articles and podcasts, and that's something we really like to do. But we also see patients, and we're in a beautiful new location here in Manhattan. And we invite patients to inquire by going to our website at drhoffman.com and finding out about our full scope of services. So remarkably, we do. And it, you know, seeing patients, I think, is vital because we can opine all we want.
Yeah.
But, and some of what we know comes from reading and the looking at studies and so on. Mm-hmm. But really where the rubber meets the road is when we have experience working with people. And between us, well, I would hazard to say we have close to about 50 years of collective experience in dealing with patients. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Between us.
Uh-huh.
So me a little more than you, but that it adds up. Mm-hmm. It adds up. So with that in mind, let's tackle our next question.
Yes. We have an email from Steve. Dear Doc Hoffman and Layla, I've recently discovered that NAC, N-acetylcysteine, on an empty stomach followed by a coffee enema makes me feel a lot better throughout the day, so far, he says. Mm-hmm. And I wanted your listeners to know about this discovery.
Okay.
I'm assuming doing the protocol increases glutathione in the body.
Yeah.
One of the benefits is reduced brain fog. My questions are, is this protocol increasing glutathione or doing something else?
Yeah.
And why would glutathione decrease brain fog?
Okay, so this is really interesting. Look, it sounds a little bizarre to some people who, you know, think maybe this is a little over the top, but coffee enemas are actually an ancient modality, and they were very much favored by one of my good colleagues, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, who worked a lot with cancer patients, but also worked to optimize individuals. And, learned about coffee enemas, I've done them. I've been there, done that. You administer coffee. Mm. It's got to be organic coffee because you don't want to put a lot of chemicals in there.
You don't want it hot, folks.
You want it warm. You don't want it you don't want cold brew. Okay.
You don't want steaming hot coffee.
But you don't want cold brew. And you take an enema with coffee. Now, the idea is, I mean, first of all, we know that coffee, and many studies suggest that coffee is beneficial for the liver.
Yeah.
Well,
for detoxification. Well,
it accelerates detoxification pathways. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was invented before they actually worked out the science behind it, that somehow it is a detoxifying thing. And it can be, that it can even happen when you take coffee orally. There's a much lower incidence of liver disease in people who are regular drinkers of coffee.
Yeah.
And in fact, less liver cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Giving it rectally, it goes directly into your liver via the portal circulation. It's a more direct route to your liver, so you immediately get the effects in your liver. And they want it to be caffeinated. So, you get a little bit of a...
That stimulation
helps. Stimulation.
Right.
What happens, you know, anytime you take any kind of enema, you might get some clearing of the brain. You know, first it's a coffee effect, like everybody will wake up and smell the coffee, you know, it's helps you concentrate. But also if you eliminate the bacteria in your intestinal tract by expelling them, you might get less brain fog and some mental clarity.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
Yeah.
Number two,
glutathione, the times that I've taken intravenous glutathione myself,
uh-huh.
I've noticed a kind of, I wear glasses, but I feel like I've just cleaned my glasses. You know, it seems...
Your eyesight got brighter.
My eyesight got a little better and more acute.
Uh-huh.
And so that has to do with maybe some effect on the energetics of your cells and possibly of, and the eyes are nerves and so is the brain. So I can see that this could be helpful. So it's a 1-2 punch. I'm not sure which is doing what in
He's
this case.
He's taking NAC, followed by a coffee enema. So that's already going to up his glutathione.
Exactly. N-acetylcysteine is one of the ways to do that. Interestingly, there's a supplement, RegActive. It's a probiotic that generates glutathione in the gastrointestinal tract.
Yes.
It might not be as an immediate rush as taking a coffee enema, but it might also help with brain fog.
Yeah.
Because it generates glutathione.
Okay.
So, you know, sounds...
And glutathione is the biggest, it's the master endogenously produced antioxidant.
And detoxifier.
And detoxifier.
Yeah.
So, very, very good. Okay. So, Steve, thank you very much for your question.
Great. At this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share some vital information with you. Please listen up. Here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by True Niagen. New True Niagen Pro contains a unique form of vitamin B3, clinically proven to safely increase NAD, which is a vital resource used every day to help fuel and maintain the health of all living cells. NAD is critical for energy and cellular repair and supports muscle function. But as we age, NAD has been found to decline up to 50%. True Niagen Pro is clinically proven to safely increase NAD levels, caring for your cells to help you age better and live better. True Niagen Pro is only available through healthcare practitioners. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com to get yours.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. Please support them. And now back to our questions with Layla. What's next?
Oh, Bob. Bob in Florida. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, greetings to you. I recently had a, quote, mole removed from my neck, which proved to be a sebaceous gland carcinoma.
Okay, well, that's kind of a real PSA for going to see your dermatologist when something comes up and not just ignoring it. Because, you know, a lot of skin things, it's like, you know, you get older and you get these little, you know, discolorations and you get growths. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's worthwhile to getting them checked out, even if it's a milk run when you go to the dermatologist. Because the dermatologist, it may seem innocuous to you, but it could be something.
It could be something. So Bob says, immunological stains reveal I have MS6, a.k.a. Lynch syndrome.
Well, that's what's interesting is it's a relatively rare syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second email we've gotten in about the last couple of months on
exactly, it. Exactly, which is very, very interesting. Bob is an otherwise healthy 70-year-old male. He's 165 pounds at 5'10". Very good. I'm interested in any dietary protocols, supplements, exercise regimens that can aid in DNA replication repair to offset the Lynch syndrome.
Okay, well, so what is Lynch syndrome? Lynch syndrome is a genetic trait that is permissive of cancer. It doesn't always cause cancer, but it's a fault in the repair function of the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And so several genes may be involved, and it's heritable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got someone in your family who has it, it's a good idea for you to get tested. It increases risk of cancer of the colon and rectum, especially. But other types of cancer, such as uterine cancer, can be associated with it. So what's done sometimes routinely is when people have colon cancer or uterine cancers or other cancers, they get tested routinely for Lynch syndrome. For two reasons. One is they may get another cancer, and also to inform their relatives potentially that they need more screening. They would need an earlier colonoscopy to prevent colon cancer, to catch it early.
Okay. Bob says, my wife and I are following a Mediterranean diet featuring low carbs, moderate protein, and I've become more carb phobic since the diagnosis to try to become more ketogenic and starve any remaining cancer. I've met with an oncologist. I'll be getting a PET scan to determine our next steps. So any thoughts on alterations to diet supplements?
Well, yeah, this is an area where there's a lot of speculation. And I don't think there's a specific protocol for Lynch syndrome. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all these things, you know, taking cancer preventive nutrients, you know, getting adequate fiber in the intestinal tract, certainly vitamin D, they're, you know, really good rationale for doing these things. Mm-hmm. And also keeping the carbohydrate load down, but at the same time keeping the protein load down, because proteins, excess protein may promote cancer growth.
That's true too. Right, right. Especially things like leucine, although there's some isolation in that study of the leucine. And
glutamine has sometimes been implicated.
Is great, but otherwise maybe not great. You have to be careful within the setting of cancer, but undergoing chemotherapy, it could be very helpful in reducing the risk of neuropathies.
There it's very useful, yes.
Yeah. So it's a delicate dance, as we like to say. Bob, best of health to you going forward. Continue eating your clean diet. Ketogenic will not hurt you. Okay. Let's see here. We have an email from Kate. My cortisol levels are high. What would you suggest to lower them? That's an entire podcast.
Right.
That's a consult as well. Why is the cortisol high? That takes a little bit
or a
of
book,
investigation.
You know?
A book.
Yeah.
And there are books written about the adrenal stress.
Well, let's break it down into two factors, okay? One is, internal factors versus external factors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about the external factors, you know, first of all. Does stress increase cortisol?
No. Yeah. Lack of sleep. Mm-hmm. That increases cortisol.
Yep.
A night owl lifestyle, mm-hmm. a junk food eating lifestyle, a drinking lifestyle, heavy mm-hmm. partying lifestyle,
yep.
all cortisol, cortisol, cortisol right there.
Right.
So,
but, you know, stress, fear, deadlifts. And by the way, high cortisol is associated with depression. It's not always correlated with depression, but high morning cortisol is one of the few things that's a biological marker for depression. It's kind of like, you know, am I depressed? Can I get a blood test? No, not really. But if you do a saliva test and you have sky-high cortisol in the morning, mm-hmm. it's often a sign of a marker for depression.
Right. That's that early morning wake-up.
Yeah, waking up with dread.
Waking up with dread, exactly. Not a great way to live, right?
Yeah.
And depression
I try not to wake up that way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
The other thing is that depression also goes hand in hand with anxiety, and a high cortisol would also be a promoter of anxiety, and it's all part of the equation, I believe, right there. How do you lower it?
Well, let's talk about the internal causes.
The internal causes.
Well, I think we got lapsed a little bit. What I meant was, you know, your diet can increase your cortisol.
Absolutely.
So how does diet cause cortisol to
Well, when you eat a junky diet, when you have erratic or unstable blood sugar, or you skip meals, you don't eat your meals
it's
in time.
Dietary stress.
It's dietary stress. This is physiological stress on your body. When you're not managing your meal times normally as you should, eating within the same hour and a half window every day, your mm-hmm. breakfast, your lunch, your dinner. Because what happens is if you let your blood sugar fall too low, hypoglycemia, that doesn't feel great. So the adrenals, these superheroes, come out, mm-hmm. secrete all this adrenaline, cortisol, in an effort to bring that blood
sugar back
to normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when they're constantly called in every day, that's another reason for mm-hmm. your body to be swimming in cortisol.
Yep.
Not
yep.
a good thing.
Yep. Or just being fat causes more cortisol production.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's almost like being on steroids to have that kind of effect.
And it's a vicious circle because the higher your cortisol, the more tendency you're going to have to pack on fat, especially belly fat.
Right.
So that's something.
Some individuals who are overweight, they have what's called a buffalo hump, which is like a hump of fat behind their neck, which is often a sign that people get when they take too much prednisone, but they're actually making their own cortisol causing that problem. And so it's...
That's just triggered a memory of HIV medications and what is it called? Lipodystrophy.
Thank you. Okay. That's not quite that, but...
It's not quite that, but that's a real hump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So... anyway.
So, Kate, make sure that you're eating.
It's also a lifestyle thing.
It's also a lifestyle.
I think when people have high cortisol, it's like, hey, teachable moment.
Yeah.
You know, start to address.
Look at this lab test. Yeah. Teachable moment right here.
Yeah, it's like, look at your life. What's stressing you out? Can you maybe engineer your life in a different direction? Is that job, is it mandatory for you to commute 2 hours every day to a job that
yeah.
you hate?
Right.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's your sheer, it's all about sheer survival for you. And unfortunately, some people have no control over their circumstance. Are you in an abusive relationship?
Yeah.
Are you...
Do you have the type of life where you're not able to get more than 4 hours of sleep a night? That's a recipe for disaster, really. Well, for a whole lot of adrenal stress. So, therefore, I mean, and if these are things you can control the relationships you're in or not in. You can make a life choice about your job, a job that you hate especially.
You
could do something
about
your hours.
You can develop a spiritual practice.
Yeah.
You can do yoga. You can do meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation demonstrably lowers cortisol
yeah.
if you can do it.
There are psychological reasons for high cortisol, too. Are you a super-duper micromanager? Are you OCD about these things? Do you believe that you're the only person who could do it right?
Maybe
that
some life coaching, cognitive behavioral therapy
yes.
could have an impact on that.
Yes, all of that.
You know, all these self-improvement measures, it's really,
right.
it's sort of a, and by the way, you know, why bother? You know, cortisol's high, okay, life sucks, and, you know, well, what's the big implication of that? Well, cortisol will curtail your life.
Yes.
It'll curtail your memory. It'll make you more prone to diabetes and heart disease.
It shrinks the hippocampus of the brain.
Literally.
It does, literally. And mm-hmm. you will get that cauliflower image that you see on a brain scan, you'll see it get smaller and smaller and smaller,
mm-hmm.
looking a little more like Alzheimer's as
yeah.
time goes on.
Yeah.
And then we're just talking about dementia from mm-hmm. too much cortisol circulating.
Not to stress out about it.
No, not to stress out about it.
Here's your cortisol. And, oh my God, it's so stressful.
And let's get a little vanity going here. Cortisol will thin your skin. You'll
yep.
get wrinkles. You'll be saggy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll thin your bones. It'll do all these other kinds. It'll age you. You will rust. So now, what do we do nutritionally for lowering that cortisol? Besides making all these lifestyle changes, a proper diet, eating to support blood sugar, eating to support adrenal function, there are some nice nutrients to take as well, something like cortisol manager or ashwagandha.
Which contains theanine and mm-hmm. ashwagandha, you know, mm-hmm. these are good things. Yeah.
Yeah.
CBD is now a new candidate for managing anxiety and stress.
CBD seems to be a candidate for
everything. It's a panacea, right.
Lately, which is very interesting.
Who knew yeah. when, you know, when we were in the 60s and 70s when there was a big pot revolution?
Oh,
then we'd
yeah.
be like really straight now.
Uh-huh.
In 2018,
uh-huh.
and talking about taking a nutritional supplement that it won't get you high. I assure you, it won't get you high. It just makes you very nice and slightly
yeah.
mellow.
Slightly mellow is nice. Okay, Kate, thank you for your question. And again, if you want a more in-depth look, that means a consult. So if you're in the New York area, you can call our office, 212-779-1744. Speak to Grimaldi.
No pressure.
No pressure. Oh, gosh. We have a question from Shepherd. Interesting first name, Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Many years ago...
Well, there's a newscaster, Shepherd Smith.
You know, Shepherd Smith. Smith.
Right.
Okay.
He's a human.
And he's a human. Oh, Shepherd. Okay.
Shepherd.
Many years ago, Dr. Hoffman did a live blood analysis for me and said I would have trouble fasting, which is true, he says in parenthetically, due to the absence of a particular substance in my blood. What is that substance that makes fasting easier?
I don't recall that, but I did do this thing called live cell analysis, which where we took a slide, we put a drop of blood in the slide, and then we looked at it under a very high-powered microscope. And it was, I did it for a while, and then I stopped doing it because I really didn't feel that there was a strong scientific basis for the things that we were saying about mm-hmm. the blood based on this analysis. Although, I come from medical training where I used to look at blood all the time under the microscope. In fact, mm-hmm. in the old days, we used to draw blood from people and look at it in the microscope.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nowadays it's done by machine or it's done, you know, by a hematologist only. But you can tell a lot from looking at the blood, but that particular test, I think, was oversold. But what it did do is it really put people in touch with the fact that their diets and their supplements had an impact on their inner working. So it was kind of a motivational thing. I'm not sure what it was I saw in his blood that would indicate he'd had trouble fasting, but what is in the blood that sometimes indicates potential trouble fasting is high bilirubin that occurs, it develops when people take a fasting blood test.
And bilirubin is?
It's a liver metabolite, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's high if you have hepatitis or if you have, cancer or, but this is called Gilbert syndrome, and it's very common in the populace, but I noticed those people have a little more trouble fasting. Okay. So maybe I, like shrouded in ancient history 30 years ago, I told him something about fasting, maybe based on his blood test, and then I looked at the blood on the screen and told him, you know, I'd have trouble fasting. I don't know. It was conflated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
but interesting. It's a technique called live cell analysis, and I think some people still do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think, you know, it's sort of a pseudoscience as opposed to a hard modern medical science.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's even allowed in New York anymore.
Well, that's another thing. Yeah, I mean, there's certain regulations about whether you can do certain things. I don't think it's not allowed, but maybe it may be frowned upon, you know. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Very interesting question. Thank you, Shepherd.
Yeah. All the best. All right. I think we need to conclude because we, you know, are simply out of time. But we encourage you to email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And we'll answer as many questions as we can. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Really enjoy yourselves.
Yes.
Take it easy because, you know, eat slowly. Don't,
you know. Put your fork down between bites.
Yeah. And, you know, as delicious as all the food is, you don't have to eat it all.
Yeah.
You might feel better the next day. And, you know, take home some leftovers and enjoy them.
Yeah. And don't forget to go to the gym.
Right.
Always a good idea.
Yeah, pay it forward before Christmas holidays because this is time. Once, you know, Thanksgiving is the beginning of a long potlatch season, you know,
exactly.
Where people kind of lose it. And, you know, one way to stay healthy and stable during the season is to, I think, to, even though it's cold, is maintain exercise. You know, if you're older, you can mall walk.
Yeah.
You can, you know, eat healthy, hydrate well.
You could do floor exercises in your home.
Yeah. And
And it's all good.
And you're going to eat differently and you're going to eat more. I mean, let's not be too puritanical about it.
No.
But you can sort of pay it forward a little bit to offset the, you know. Thing. So traditionally on Thanksgiving, I work out in the morning and because I know I'm going to eat a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and get a little bit of a workout. And, you know, it's a way to sort of counterbalance things.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everyone.
Likewise. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.